Well, I am very honored to speak today. Obviously, I am not a father, but I appreciate so much the fathers in this house. It's very rare to find a godly father now. So I want to let you guys all know how rare and special you are. And he's not listening, which is probably good, but I would like to honor the father of this house, who has been through many different seasons with this church. He was serving in the background, and he all of a sudden, you know, we lost our senior pastor. And instead of getting lost in his grief about losing one of his best friends, he was able to step up as a father in this house and lead. And I'm so grateful that he's done that and that he continues to lead graciously. You can go ahead and start recording. Anyway, can we just give a clap for Pastor Steve? He didn't record till I was done with that. So this morning, I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about the Father's heart that he has for us. And a father cares, right? He cares for our needs. He cares for our hearts. He leads us in the right direction, and he provides for our needs. And David compares this to a shepherd. So we're going to turn to Psalm 23, which we all know very well, and we're just going to kind of walk through it a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little bit. What does it look like to walk with Father God? And a lot of us, you know, well, all of us, because we're in the world, have slightly skewed view of God because we have earthly fathers, right? So we think everything is exactly the same with God. However, that's what we've been walking through lately, especially with our identity series, is that God is not always exactly the way our father was, because our fathers are human, right? Same with our mothers. Mothers are not excluded. So we're going to look today at the Father's heart for us in Psalm 23. And the cool thing about Psalm 23 is it shows that God is with us through every season of life. No matter what that season looks like, no matter what that season feels like, he's still there with us. How many of you know we have great times and we have not so great times in life, right? But he is still leading and guiding us. So I'm just going to read it. I'm sure we all have different versions, but I'll read you what mine says. I have the, I have the NIV today. Sometimes I have my other one, but. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, or mine says love, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I have here eight seasons or places we can be with God that, you know what, God is still with us no matter where we are and what we're doing. He was really speaking to me recently. Actually, Brother Mike was sharing about the upcoming thing this Saturday with Dr. Mike Hutchings. I actually went last Saturday to one with him, and it was so powerful. God really spoke to me because I was struggling with some things in my life that have happened. I have almost died twice. Like, literally, people were surprised I survived, especially doctors. And I kind of felt traumatized by that. I mean, it's scary. And so I was like, Lord, if you're on the throne, why didn't you make that not happen to me? How come that happened, right? And these are questions that we all struggle with because we all have gone through stuff that's traumatizing. That's part of being down here in this world. You can't escape it. We're all going to have trauma of some sort. And so I was talking to the Lord about that and just asking him, you know, and the things that Dr. Mike was sharing were like revelations to me, and the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. And then I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, if you are on the throne, you know, how come this stuff happened? And I felt like the Lord was crying with me and was like, I'm so sorry that the world is not safe. He was like, that is not how I created it. I created a beautiful, safe world for you guys to live in, but I want my people to be free. And so this is what has happened. So it's not God. Obviously, we know it's not God that does these things to us. But it's comforting to know that it grieves his heart when we're hurting. He cares, and he's there in every season. And it's kind of like he does keep us safe. He's an umbrella, but we're still in the rain, right? We're still going to get a little wet because we live here still until we get to heaven and we're completely safe from all harm, anybody ever rejecting us, right? So while we're here, he is our umbrella. He does keep us safe, but we're going to get a little splashback from the world. So, in seeing that picture, let's just look at these different things. Because I said to the Lord, you know, I feel like I have all these questions. And he was like, you know what? I'm not scared of your questions. You can ask me all the questions you want. So I was like, why did this happen? And how about this? You know, and not just the whys, but other questions too. Just things that we don't understand. I was struggling with some doubts, you know, like I said, like, Lord, are you really on the throne or what? What's going on here? And just being real with God, right? He would rather us be real with him. And so what he said to me was, well, I want to walk through these questions with you and through these hurts with you. And this is what it will look like. Psalm 23. It's going to be green pastures. It's going to be quiet waters. It's not going to be me doing all this hard work, you know, trying to figure things out on my own. So the first season sometimes we go in is green pastures. And a green pasture is like the best place for the sheep to eat. They can eat all they want. They have their fill, right? And some seasons in our lives are like that. We feel like everything is going great. We feel filled. We feel wonderful. We are well fed on his word, right? And the great thing about green pastures is it's a place of rest, right? And sometimes when we're in a place of rest, we're kind of like, oh boy, nothing bad is happening. And we get a little nervous, right? We're like, something bad's about to happen because everything's good right now, right? But guess what? Even if something does, he's still there in that season too. But he is with us in the rest, in the quiet place, and he can speak to us there. And then the next one says, beside quiet waters. And in the quiet waters, it says, that's where he restores our soul, right? And so this is the place where I feel like the Lord was saying to me, bring me your hurts. Bring me your pain. You know, sometimes I don't want to look at it. I want to ignore it. I want to pretend like it's not there. I want to just be numb and act like I'm fine, right? But the problem with being numb is then we don't feel the joy either, right? So we don't want to feel the pain, so we just kind of numb ourselves. But at the quiet waters, it's a safe place. The presence of God is a safe place where I can show him my hurts and I can let him heal me. I can let him wash me. I can be honest about my struggles and my sin, and he doesn't reject me. He loves me. And the quietness of his voice is like that. It just washes over you. I don't know if you've ever met with God in such a way like that, where you can just almost feel him filling you up, right? We say, Holy Spirit, come fill me up. But that's kind of how it feels. It's just like you feel like you're being poured into, and you can feel him cleansing you, and you can just, it just feels amazing. So the quiet waters is a great season. And you know what? We can create that season every single day. All we have to do is ask God to come meet with us. Get in a quiet place, and he'll speak something. He promises to do that. He says, if we seek him, we will find him. So the third one says, lead me in the paths of righteousness. So walking on the right path, right? We step out and follow him in something new. How many people know sometimes it's a little scary to go somewhere you've never been, nowadays we have the GPS. It's not that big of a deal. It used to be a little scary to go somewhere you've never been, pulling out the paper map and trying to be like, oh boy, how did I get here and how do I get back, right? But when we follow the Lord, the great thing is He doesn't just give us a map and say, good luck, I hope you find your way, right? He actually walks with us and leads and guides us every day and every moment. And I love that scripture that says, you will hear a voice behind you saying to turn to the right or to the left, right? He's not going to make us stand here guessing, what should I do, Lord? It says He gives wisdom to everyone who asks. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for that, because multiple times during the day, sometimes I'm like, oh, what should I do about this, Lord, you know? And just have to get to a quiet spot for a couple minutes, and usually I'll know right away what I'm supposed to do, and then the peace is there, right? And then we can step out in boldness because we know that we're doing the right thing and what He wants us to do. He gives me the grace to obey Him and walk free of behaviors I've followed in the past that led me in the wrong direction. How many of you know that's the tricky part? Sometimes we're like, yes, amen. We're like, oh, I don't need God to tell me how to get there. I know how to get there, and I get there the way I want to get there, right? And the Lord's like, well, what about trying this other way? And we're like, no, I'm good. You know, and we just keep going the way we've always gone, which we know is not the right way, right? Why? Because it's the easy way. It's the way we've traveled the most. We know it the best. How many of you have ever gotten in the car and gotten home and realized you didn't even, like, realize that you were driving home, right? You're like, how did I even get here? Because your brain is doing other things. It's called automatic. We have those in our heads. We have automatic thoughts that just happen, right? And some of them are not healthy. How many of you know? I see a lot of shaking heads. Yeah, we know. It's funny, with Dr. Mike, there was another lady speaking there, and she was saying how we have ants in our brains. A-N-T-S. Automatic negative thoughts. Does anyone here have automatic negative thoughts? Yes. We have to get rid of those ants, right? And we do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to shine light on them and say, hey, that's not for me, right? And then we're able to release it. Like, all right, Lord. So He guides us in the right paths. Psalm 23. Then it says, we all know this one, because this can be a comfort to us when we're in this season, that He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. But the cool thing is, it doesn't say the valley of darkness, does it? It says the shadow. Can you have a shadow at night? No. What do you need to make a shadow? Light, right? So we're not in there in complete darkness. He's with us. The light is there as well, right? How many of you know, no matter how much bad stuff is going on, there's always good stuff going on too that we could focus on? That's sometimes the struggle for us. We're like, see all of the negative things, don't we? Instead of being like, okay, what things can I be thankful for in this situation despite what I'm going through? How many of you know gratefulness can really change our hearts, change our attitudes around, and then we're able to focus on, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. I can make it through this. The Lord is with me, right? And the cool thing about this passage is that it's saying He protects us with His rod and His staff, right? And the rod is what the shepherd would use to beat off the enemy. How many of you are glad that He beats off the enemy on our behalf? And the staff is like the crook that you see in pictures or whatever, and that's what they use to keep the sheep close to Him if they started to wander off. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need Him to draw me back to Himself too. Because we all wander off, don't we? We want to go our own way. And especially in the valley of the shadow of death, where we feel like stuff is attacking us. We're like, we forget that we just need to stay close to Him. And I was sharing this recently with somebody, how I used to think it was my job to fight the enemy off, right? We're like, we're Christians. It's our job to fight the enemy. But that's actually not what the Bible says at all. It says He does it, right? And so my mom was sharing this with me, because I said, you know, I used to get attacked a lot at night in my dreams by the enemy. Like, I could actually feel him there. And I would get up out of bed, I'd get out my anointing oil, go around the house yelling at him and praying in tongues and like, get out of my house, devil, you know? And then get myself all worked up. And when I was doing that, I was focusing on the darkness. I was focusing on him and trying to beat the enemy or whatever. And yes, we have the power to tell him to leave. But my mom was sharing with me, she's like, you know, in Sozo, when the enemy shows up, we just say, Jesus, will you take care of that? And he does. And then I was like, really? That's all I have to do? So now, when the enemy attacks me, I stay in bed, and I say, Jesus, take care of him. And I just start worshiping, and it's like instantaneous sometimes. Because who knows, the enemy hates worship. He cannot stand it. He can't stand to be around us saying how wonderful God is. He just leaves. It's great. So, just to encourage you to focus on the light, because it is there. Even in the valley of the shadow, there is a light, and he is the light. And to allow him to protect us and to keep us close to him. All right, and then the next one says that we are at the table. We're being honored and provided for. It says he places a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Okay? So even though we might be being attacked in certain areas, he still provides all that we need, above and beyond all that we need. Like when I picture this verse, I always see like myself at a massive table full of food and it's just me, right? It's like we have way more than we need. And our enemies see that, you know? And it kind of scares them a little. In the presence of my enemies, things might not always be great, but I am still winning because he has placed me beside him at the table. So he provides all that we need and more. The next one is a place of ministry. It says, he anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. So when we meet with God and when he provides all these things for us, is it just for us so that we can barely make it through our lives? No, he gives us more than enough because he wants us to give it out. He wants us, Sister Marty was sharing that this morning, that she was like, the Lord, you know, I shared what I shared earlier about how God wants to do a deep work and fill us and make our wells deeper so that we have more to give. And she was like, yes, the Lord is, you know, encourages us to give that out to everybody. It's like, you know, a toddler carrying a cup that's full to the brim. It's going to spill out all over whoever's nearby. That's how we should be and how we can be. Who wants to be that way? We don't want to be empty, right? We want to be filled like that. And then we don't have to be like, oh, I need to pour into this person or I need to pour into this person. It just naturally happens because you're overflowing. It's just like Gloria. When you see her, she's overflowing always with joy. And it spills out on everyone around her, doesn't it? Yes, that is you. That's your identity. That's all for all of us. We can all be that way. So he anoints us to reach out to others and see their needs met. We have more than we need, plenty to share. And then it says, the goodness and mercy or love follow me all the days of my life. I love this verse because this is the season I am in right now. It's the season of busyness. Anybody busy out there at all? It's great because he knows that we can't stay here in church all day, every day and just pray and worship, right? We have lives. We have children. We have jobs. We have stuff that we have to do. We have homes. So he follows us with his goodness and mercy. Isn't that awesome? And there's nothing that I have to do to get it. He just follows me because I have him within me. He blesses all that I do, and the word says everything that we do will prosper. Isn't that awesome? We will always be successful. None of us is a failure because he is the one who makes us prosper. We are always going to win. And the last one says that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And just like I said, he is in our hearts. That means he can speak to me at all times, not just here. And not even just when I'm in my, you know, place of meeting with him at home. I talk to him all day while I'm cooking, while I'm outside with the kids. You know, we can do all day long, everywhere we go, whether we're Walmart or at work, God is with us and he is speaking to us and we can dwell with him. And it was funny, I was telling the Lord at this thing that I went to last Saturday, I was like, Lord, I really miss, like, I felt like when I was up at Elam, that was like home for my heart. Like, I just loved being there, you know, it was like the presence of God was so strong, I could meet with him pretty much anytime I wanted, all day, every day. I had no responsibilities except schoolwork, which wasn't too bad. And I was like, man, I wish that I could just live there. You know, it's kind of like this verse says, that I could live in the house of the Lord forever. And he was like, Steph, I am your home. That wasn't your home. And I have my home in him. And the great thing is, my home travels with me wherever I go. It's like a turtle, right? It carries his home with him. We have him with us everywhere we go. It's such a great gift that he gave us. So I was encouraged by that. And then the common theme here is that he loves and cares for us in the good and the bad. But we have to choose if we're going to come to him and allow him to shepherd us or not, right? We could possibly not allow him to be our shepherd and just wander off and not come back when he calls. But if we do, we get great blessing. So what would possibly cause me or all any of us not to come to our loving father or shepherd in this illustration? It's the lies we believe about ourselves, our identity, right? We've been talking in our Wednesday night, oh my goodness, if you did not come at all this spring to our identity series, we're starting it up again in the fall to finish the other half. You should definitely join us. It has been so great. My mindset and view of myself and my identity in God has really been changing. And this last week, he shared some things that were groundbreaking. But I'm going to share four reasons that we might not come to our loving father or shepherd. And these are things that reasons because we see ourselves as. So one would be that we think we're just a stubborn sheep. Like, I'm a stubborn sheep. I don't need no shepherd, right? But if we aren't obeying him, we're struggling to believe that he loves me no matter what. If I'm not walking like one of his children, I'm believing the lie that is causing me to act in a self-protecting way. That's what we've been learning at our identity series, that most of the stuff we do because we don't feel safe. So I start doing stuff that makes me feel safe, even though it's not the best stuff for me. I start to comfort myself. I don't come to my father, my shepherd, for love and comfort. I go to other things. It could be anything. We could be addicted to anything, right? Anything that we go to for comfort that's not God, right? And we end up being far from him because we're clinging to those things. But God wants our obedience less than he wants our hearts. And I'm going to explain what I mean by this. So I was talking to God about, I like to watch some reality shows. And I was watching this one reality show. And it's like a contest. I don't even remember which one it was now. But in it, there was a homosexual contestant. And they were showing him, like, in the evening, reading his Bible. And I was like, man, how do I feel about this? You know? I'm like, Lord, what do you think about this? Like, can you be a Christian and homosexual? And this is a very controversial topic, so don't answer me, please. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me that day. So I was like, Lord, like, doesn't that bother you that, you know, he's showing his Bible in front of the camera and everyone's saying he's a Christian, and but he does these things and lives this way? And the Lord said to me, I would rather him know that I love him than to have him obey me by acts and be far from me with his heart. And he was reminding me, there are a lot of Christians who just live by the law, but they don't really believe God loves them. They aren't walking close to him. They're not able to receive his love because they think They're fine. They've made all the right choices. They're not living that way. They're not doing this. They don't have this addiction. They are, you know, holier than thou, right? But that is not what honors God or pleases God, and that's not what God's heart is about. He would rather us come to Him with our sin, knowing that we're, you know, the way that we are, and allow Him to love us and receive His love. And that was a revelation to me, because I struggle with always having to do the right thing, right? But the truth is, He just wants our hearts. He wants us to know that He loves us. And I taught this lesson with the kids downstairs the other week. Last time I was preaching, I shared how Jesus said two people had little faith and great faith. And the one was Peter, walking on the water, right? And then he starts to fall, and Jesus says, "You have little faith." And then there was a woman, a Canaanite woman, who came up, and everyone was telling her, "God's not going to provide for you, right? Don't bother the Lord," you know. And she persisted in keeping coming and saying, "Lord, I know you're going to provide for my need, no matter what people say about me or what I believe about myself." And he said, "Woman, you have great faith." And I was sharing with them about this and how He would rather us know His love and believe in His love than to believe in His ability to provide for us or do other things for us, right? It's all about His heart and our heart. So something that keeps us away is that we think we're just stubborn, or we think we're a dirty sheep, right? We don't think we're good enough to come to God, that we got to clean up our act first. And we talked about this in our identity series, how we're like, "Well, I'm just a dirty sinner saved by grace," right? But that's not who He says we are anymore. He says we are cleansed and we are His. And if we have sin in our life, like I said, it's self-protecting things that we have done. And love covers a multitude of sins, right? We are still His children and always will be. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. That means no sin can separate me from the love of God. And again, to the identity series, the really cool illustration that they used this week was that the sin in our lives is just fruit. So he was saying, if you picture a tree, right? A lot of times when we try to get rid of sin in our lives, we're picking off all the fruit, trying to get rid of the sin and the behaviors that we know are not healthy for us. And we take the fruit away, but guess what? It grows back, right? And we take it off again. And then he was saying, we even do behavior management. We tell somebody, "Hey, help me, I'm struggling with this sin." And they come and they help us pick all the fruit and take it all away, but it's still there. It comes back, right? And why does it keep coming back? Because you have to deal with the root. He was saying the root is the lies that I believe about myself or about God and our relationship that causes me to do those things, right? None of us goes out to think, "I'm going to be the worst person I can be today," right? We want to obey God. We want to make the right choices. So why do we keep doing that? Because we believe something not correct about ourselves. So we have to change the root to see different fruit, right? We're going to work on that later. We're going to talk to the Lord at the end here. But we're going to allow Him to do that. Instead of seeing myself as unworthy or I can't come to Him, just remember, He's going to help us with those lies and those questions and to deal with the roots. And then the fruit automatically changes. We don't have to do anything. That's the awesome thing, because we work so hard before trying to manage our behaviors instead of like, "Lord, why do I keep doing this? Why am I going down this path that I know is not beneficial to me or anyone else," right? And He can answer those questions. He loves to answer our questions. All right, real quick, the last two. We think we're an injured sheep. And like I said, we do. We all have trauma. We've all been through things. But John 16:20 explains that grief births joy. That doesn't make sense to a lot of us. But pain, we all carry pain. has to be dealt with, or it will not heal. It will fester, and it will make us feel hopeless and weak. Kind of like right now, my daughter has a really big blister, my two-year-old, and she does not want to let me touch it. She doesn't want to let me put a Band-Aid on it. She doesn't want to let me put antibiotic ointment on it. Nothing. And it's rubbing against her shoes, getting full of sand in the sandbox, all kinds of gross things going into it, right? It's kind of like that. When we have a wound, if we do not allow the Lord access to it, to touch and heal it, it is not going to get better. And we're not going to get rid of it. We're not going to get healed, right? And so mourning or grief is what allows that stuff to come out. And when it comes out, we can release it. We can let the Lord heal it. We don't have to carry it anymore. Sometimes we are afraid of grief. And so we're like, well, if I ignore that thing long enough, it won't bother me anymore. But how many of you know that's not true? It can come up 20 years later and you realize, oh, that still kind of hurts, right? But if we allow ourselves in the presence of God to cry about it, yell about it, tell him how I feel about it, I get it out of me and into his presence, right? And instead, he takes it. We've released our pain and we receive joy instead, and healing and peace and all the awesome things that we want to have in our lives, right? So grief is a bridge to healing. It's the transition from pain to love. We cannot be comforted unless we're willing to grieve, right? The Bible says he comforts those who mourn. If I never mourn something, he can't comfort me, right? If my daughter doesn't come to me and tell me, oh, mommy, I'm really upset, my sister said this to me, I can't hug her and comfort her, right? I never, you know, I just go on with my life until she comes to me. And so the Father wants us to come to him with those things and allow him to heal them and let them out. All right, the last one, sometimes we think we're a lost sheep. We know all the right things and ways to go, but for some reason I can't stay on track. I have so many questions. And like I said, he's not afraid of our questions or our honesty. But I was asking the Lord about this as well. And he was saying, because I said, Lord, I feel like I know what I should believe. And in my head, I do believe it. But my heart is not accepting whatever this truth is. And for me, it was like I was sharing about him being on the throne. I know the Bible says you're on the throne, so I believe it, but I don't believe it here, you know, and just admitting to him those things. And instead of always trying to do what we feel like we're supposed to do, we can be real and honest with God and let him change those things in us or speak to us. And sometimes, most of the time, that's the only way I can really change my beliefs, is if he speaks to me. Because I can sometimes quote that scripture over and over and over, but if there's a hurt in my heart that has taught me otherwise, and I haven't been able to bring it to him and let him heal it, or forgive whoever caused that hurt, that lie will still keep festering there. And I can proclaim over it as many times as I want, but I have to let him have access and heal it. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to put on a song, and we are going to just you, we're going to turn out the lights so you don't have to worry about it. Nobody's going to look at you. And if you need to really get it out, you can go to the bathroom and cry and scream in there. Nobody's going to judge you. But I want you to allow the Lord to go to a deeper place with you today. We don't want to live a shallow life. We want to be able to hold more, to receive more, and just allow him to dig up that stuff that you don't want to look at. Ask him today if there's a behavior or there's a pattern in your life that say, Lord, why am I doing this? What lies am I believing? And let him deal with just one today. Okay, we're not going to conquer them all in one day, right? We can do this every single day. But just ask the Lord, what lie am I believing that you want to heal today? Or what, you know, maybe there's a trauma that happened to you that you can ask him, Jesus, where were you when this happened? And let him show you. So we're just going to take a couple minutes here, meet with God, and then we'll close in prayer after the song.